I'm glad that you have tuned back in today on this lesson. It's a powerful lesson. It's found in the book of Ezra, the 8th chapter, in verse 1. I would like for you to read the entire book of Ezra. Read it for yourselves. It's the book that Jesus read. If it's good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for me. And you will get a good idea of what is going on. In fact, I suggest also that you read Jeremiah and the book of Ezekiel. All of these have to do with the chastisement that God had brought upon the Israelites. And for 70 years, they underwent the pressures of being a captive people in a foreign land. In the 8th chapter, verse 1, the people gathered themselves together into the street, but they weren't protesting. The people had gathered together out into the street. They stood as one person. They weren't there to protest against the government. They weren't there to shout and curse and burn ox carts and wagons. They were there to hear the words of the Lord. The only cry that came from these people was, "Bring the book." And this cry was directed to the minister, Ezra, the great scribe, the ready scribe, the man who had set his heart to know the law of God, to do the law of God, and to teach the law of God. Paul told the Romans, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I am ready to preach the gospel to you also." Paul was a ready preacher. Ezra was a ready scribe. Don't you enjoy listening to somebody that's ready? Ready to preach, ready to teach, ready to exhort you on what God has provided for you in His Word? Give me a ready preacher any day, one that's prepared his heart, one that is in sanction with the Holy Spirit, and all the blessings that can come from a speaker like this. "Bring the book," was their cry. But this had not always been their cry. They had told their priest in the past, "Don't tell us all the things that's in that book. Tell us good things. Tell us all is well. Tell us that things are looking good. We don't want to hear about the consequences of not listening to the Word of God. We just want to know about the blessings. Tell us those things that will encourage us. Tell us those things that will put a smile on my face." You know, that's what a lot of our Christians want today. Babes in Christ, they want their candy. They want something that tastes good, looks good, makes them feel good. They say, "Why can't I interpret the Bible the way I see fit, in a way that seems more loving and inclusive to others?" Today, many progressive, modern Christians offer a false choice between two options. We either understand the Bible in a loving way or in a selfish, judgmental way. But allow me to make a third option. As sincere, loving, Bible-believing Christians, we can choose to read the Bible with an attitude of obedience. We can read and understand carefully because we want to know what God's Word says so we can obey God. After all, He is God. His ways are perfect, and His love is manifold. Understanding the Bible is not a matter of picking and choosing what fits our idea of love, but of exploring and understanding. We study the historical context of each book of the Bible and the culture in which it was written. We grapple with the intentions of God and try to understand the grammar of the original language. But throughout our exploration of the Scriptures, we acknowledge that the Bible is God's inspired word, that it has authority, the last say over our life. I know there are those who say when they read the Bible, they try to figure out the intent of the men who wrote this book. But let me tell you, these people's intent has nothing to do with the writings of the Scripture. The evangelist Stephen, you remember, the social worker in the church, he told his listeners, he said, "You have been now the betrayers and murderers who have received the law by the disposition of angels." What does that mean? It means that these Scriptures, the law of God, the final arrangement and settlement, the administration and control of this word was by the angels. Men did not express their intent. Oh, I know it appears that they do. But they were speaking and writing as the angels guided and controlled them. The angels had the final arrangement of these Scriptures. I believe that. I hope you do also, because we know that it is the inspired Word of God, controlled by the angels of God. The final outcome is controlled and settled by the angels of God, which are under God's control. The Bible will make us uncomfortable. We won't like everything that it says. We will have to wrestle with it and learn to apply its timeless principles to our own lives. If we chip away at the integrity and the sufficiency of any portion of God's Word, we undermine everything that it says, including the message of salvation, the good news of Jesus Christ. Well, I'm going to stop the lesson right here. Jeremiah 29 and verse 11 is a verse of Scripture and a love letter that God sent down to those people that had been carried away captive. They indeed were suffering. They had forgotten about God, but God had not forgot about them. God said, "I know the thoughts that I have toward you, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." God will not forget you. You may be going through a time of chastisement. You may be afflicted, but God only chastises those that He loves. And in the midst of your chastisement, hear the words of the Lord. "I know the thoughts that I have toward you, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." You may have forgotten God, but God has not forgotten you.